Hallo, ihr hört das Freifunkradio aus Berlin, die Sendung vom August 2018, die wir heute an einer ungewöhnlichen Location aufnehmen, nämlich bei mir im Garten. Deswegen gibt es Geräusche von Friedrichshain, Verkehr und so.
Ja, unsere erste Sendung aus dem Garten überhaupt.
Aus dem Garten, genau.
Im Freien hatten wir schon Sendungen, aber...
Mit einem Höllen-Setup, also naja. Und wir haben eine Gästin, Katharina.
Hallo.
Wird uns von Callnet erzählen, aber sie bevorzugt das Interview auf Englisch zu machen. So, we have to switch.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. So, what are we talking about actually?
We are talking about Call.net. We already had one episode with Matthias. He was here. I'll give you a link in the show notes of the podcast where you can listen his interview. And today we have Katharina, also known as Space Cookie, if you are looking on the blog, for example.
Spelled with a K.
Yes.
Are you also Space Cookie on Twitter?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, okay. I am.
Yeah. And she's one of our Google Summer of Code students this year, and her project is about Call.net, and she's a second time student.
Yes.
Of GSOC, and maybe you can tell us from the beginning, how did you come to the projects? How did you know about Call.net?
Okay, so it all started a bit over 2 years ago. 2 years ago was the first time that I participated in Summer of Code, and I was sitting in a hackerspace, and some, to me, random person asked me, "Hey, are you a student?" I said, "Yes." It's like, "I heard you talk about crypto. Do you want to do crypto?" And that's how I met Matthias. And then he talked to me about Callnet. And then I was very interested. And then I wrote my proposal for my project 2 years ago, which was crypto in Callnet.
Okay, yeah. But before we go into the deep stuff of Callnet, for those people that are not aware of Callnet, we should give a short introduction.
Yep.
Who would?
Okay, well, I guess I am a contributor to the project, so I should know. Callnet is a mesh Wi-Fi application that runs on ordinary devices, so it doesn't require routers. It runs on phones and tablets and laptops, and it doesn't require any configuration on the user part. So the idea is that you can install it and you can immediately partake in mesh networks with people around you. And so, yeah, it was primarily made for people at demonstrations and protests that they could communicate with each other without being censored by any government or having Twitter blocked or something. And yeah, that's basically the core of the project.
Okay, so example, I head on to the Google Play Store, or where do I get it?
Okay, it's not on the Google Play Store. Which, actually, I'm not sure why, because there is an Android app. It currently requires the phone to be rooted, so you would go to call.net/downloads, and you would download the APK, and you would install it. The fact that the device does need to be rooted is one of the things that we tried to address this year, and it is a bit of a pain point for us.
Why do you need root?
Because we use OLSR to do routing, and well, OLSR manipulates routing tables in the kernel, which requires root. And actually, there is also something on more modern Android devices about ad hoc mode, which has been removed from modern Android firmwares. So
some phones might not be able to switch to ad hoc.
Well, unless we provide a driver for it, which isn't really that great.
That doesn't sound realistic to me.
It doesn't sound very good. So basically, if your phone is newer than maybe 4 years ago, so Android 4.0, I think, was the last one. I think they removed it in like 4.1. You might still have ad hoc mode, and then you still need root because OLSR needs it because it does all the routing in kernel space. But it adds another layer of inconvenience. It still works, but it's not very good. And it's something that we've been looking into fixing, actually, since before I joined the project 2 years ago. So there is a lot of work to be done, and we've done a lot of work already. And so this year's Summer of Code project went towards being able to run CallNet without root and being able to just install it from the Play Store. But there is still a bunch of work to do. So, and I can go into the details why that is if you want.
Okay, well, it's just...
Like, if you don't ask me questions, I will just talk here for, like, 2 hours.
I prefer asking questions. So, well, that's... We already figured out a greater obstacle because people then use, like, 4 or 5 year old Android phones with all their security holes that are not fixed.
Well, I mean, not in the West, no. Or, like, in Europe and the US. There is obviously places where CallNet is used where older phones are more standard. So, for example, in the beginning of the year, we were contacted by a refugee camp in Turkey that wanted to deploy CallNet to spread information across, like, different refugee camps about safety and whatever. And we actually got insights on what phones were used, and they were all, like, not newer than 3 or 4 years ago.
And the idea is that you have a mesh amongst mobile phones.
Not only mobile phones, but yes. So any phone can join the network. But the cool thing about CallNet is that because it is OLSR, you can have other, or like, it runs on anything. So it runs on Linux, and what you could possibly like do is take a Raspberry Pi, install it on that, and then build antennas that have several hundred meters or even a kilometer of range, and then extend the network past just a few phones.
How about we usually have an access point interface and an ad hoc interface on our Freifunk routers.
Right.
So if we would run OLSR on the access point interface, would this solve the problem of the root access?
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, yes, in a way, but it would also mean that a CallNet is about spontaneously forming networks, so we don't want people to need infrastructure in place. Because we don't know how a movement grows or how it moves, and it's the ideas that the people that are there participating make the infrastructure or are the infrastructure, even if it might persist for longer. So, for example, there's semi-permanent installations of CallNet in independent communities where you generally otherwise don't have infrastructure in the middle of nowhere. And while that is while of course you could deploy infrastructure there, usually it's just people that happen to stay in those places with like a laptop or something. They don't put anything down because, well, they might move a little, and like it's the idea is that it stays mobile and that it stays flexible. So we don't want to commit to having or requiring infrastructure nodes.
This is okay if okay, because the next question is, how about iPhones?
We don't care about iPhones.
That's a good, okay.
Because I mean, we talked about it, and CallNet technically runs on the iPhone if it's jailbroken. So you need to have a jailbroken iPhone, and you can't do it on an iPhone that's too new. So I think the 5 might be the newest one you can use. But I might be wrong on that. I would have to double check. And there is an installer, so you can install it. But, I mean, forget getting into the App Store. It's not going to happen. And we haven't actually had any, like, people come to us with Android bugs and Linux bugs and Windows bugs. No one comes to us with macOS bugs or iOS bugs. It just doesn't happen. So
there's no bugs in iOS.
Well, obviously, it's a perfect operating system. Go buy it.
Okay, so
it's
so
just not the audience.
Okay, it works with old Android, it works with Linux, it works on a Raspberry Pi, it runs on a Windows PC.
Even Windows 10, we tested that.
All right. Okay. Using OLSR switch, I suppose.
I think so. I didn't do the testing.
The trusty old OLSR switch. Well, it's anyway, it's irrelevant for our listeners, I suppose.
And did you consider changing, for example, the routing algorithm, going away from the good old OLSR, moving to Batman or OLSR V2 or BMX?
Right. So, yes, we did. And we did a lot of research into this, and it's far from conclusive, so we haven't made any like final decision yet. So we looked at Batman for routing because we think it's a more elegant approach. To you don't need to know the topology of your network, you don't need to store that much information in each node, you can just sort of, it's how the internet does routing. Not a single router knows how the internet works, it just sort of guesses and sends it off somewhere. And we like that approach, especially because it would allow us to do things like delay-tolerant networking, where messages can be delivered into the networks at some point in the future without needing to know that the node is online at that moment and being able to see it. The problem with Batman is that, or at least like in the implementation that everyone uses, it uses
Batman Advanced is working in the kernel space. You exactly, can't use it on anything else. It's only running on Linux kernels.
Exactly. So it only works on Linux. It's a kernel module. And in the beginning, and this is sort of transitioning into how this year's Summer of Code project came to be, because Matthias and I were looking at mesh network applications and implementations of meshes. And we looked at Batman and thought, well, that looks really cool. And that's what we want to do. We need to replicate that in user space. We have to do that
ourselves. You can use the old layer 3 implementation that only does IPv4, or you can use BMX.
We haven't actually had a super intense look at BMX, so I can't comment on that. We thought about the layer 3 implementation and decided that because Callnet is supposed to be a little bit pluggable in the sense that people can use it to develop things, but at the same time we might want to have more control over how the routing is done in general, like on a lower level. So we thought, at least in the beginning, it would probably be better for us if we tried to replicate the Batman routing algorithm in user space in our own code, and then try to build layers on top and under it to plug into different network backplanes and interfaces, instead of using a monolithic piece of software that we just include into the project. And that was the situation a few months ago. We started working on this routing core, as we call it. We did so in a programming language called Rust, instead of the C code that is currently most of CallNet. And then we kind of stopped because we realized that we needed to understand more about the backplanes that we would actually be connecting with, because ad hoc Wi-Fi is dead. At least on mobile, it doesn't exist anymore. It's not going to be supported, and especially with how, like, we can't guarantee that chip manufacturers will still put in the relevant resources into their chips that they can actually tune themselves the way that they need to. So there were two primary candidates for networking backplanes, like the actual medium that we use. One of them is Wi-Fi Direct, and the other one was Bluetooth Mesh. And we went halfway through the Summer of Code. We designed a packet layout and extendability, and we were working towards that when we kind of stopped and started building prototypes of applications to test how does Wi-Fi Direct work past, like, beyond just reading a Wikipedia article and knowing what it technically can do. So, because we found out Wi-Fi Direct is terrible.
Well, it's a client isolation by default because it's technically a software access point.
Yes, and it is vastly unreliable.
Probably.
Like, that was shocking. We were in a room and we wrote this custom application that was technically supposed to be able to mesh phones together, and we had 5 phones and we could never get more than 3 of them to talk to each other, and that is just terrible. And so then,
sounds like early experiences with mesh networking and ad hoc mode.
I wasn't really active in the scene back then, but
yes, but it's similar. We had like 7 laptops on the table, and they were supposed to communicate with each other directly, but only by means of routing.
some of the devices were able to communicate, some not, until they crashed.
Technology is cyclical, definitely. It's the same problems all over again. So yeah, we kind of abandoned the thought of supporting Wi-Fi Direct as a backplane just because it really didn't fit any of our needs. And we started looking towards Bluetooth Mesh.
Okay, that's interesting for me at least. So what is your conclusion about Bluetooth Mesh? It's only in the latest Bluetooth standard?
It's only in the latest Bluetooth standard, although most phones should support it. So there's there's different layers there. There's Bluetooth meshing as added in Bluetooth 4.1, and there is another meshing standard added in Bluetooth 5.0, which is really recently. But most of the applications, or like examples that we found and something we've built ourselves, were built on 4.1, which is a few years old. So even older phones, maybe not 6 or 7 years ago phones, but 3 years ago phones, that should flood the used market as well soon, so that, you know, people can get them for really cheap, is supported. And first experience are pretty good. So we got 4 phones together in a room. We actually managed to make them talk to each other and like not lose connections after 10 seconds.
How long did it take?
To get it working, 2 weekends and too much caffeine, and the memories become hazy. So
because of the caffeine jitters.
And yes, caffeine. So yeah, that looks pretty good. So I'm pretty hopeful that that's gonna be a nice thing to use. The problem there is range. So Bluetooth does not have the same range as Wi-Fi. And it is actually less power hungry, I think.
Well, a big advantage is that it saves power. Yeah.
Yes.
Since you're not going to send massive amounts of data, or are you planning for that?
Well, that's up to the users. So CallNet supports file sharing. Yes. So what that, I mean, yes, file sharing, of course, is meant to share legal documents with your friends and not to host file servers in communities with movies.
Skip that disclaimer.
Okay. Right. So in practice, we have seen that communities that use CallNet on a semi-permanent basis usually set up like a Raspberry Pi that runs CallNet with a Wi-Fi module attached, with an external hard drive attached that then collects. Like, you can set up a node to collect files that it finds on the network and then hosts them again for people to download. So, mm-hmm. And the basic footprint of messages are pretty small. A normal encrypted message without the content, just the header and stuff, is 40 bytes, signature information and stuff. And we would like to keep it as small as possible so that even on bad connections, you can still get a message to someone. But it would be very nice if people could still share big files with other people without overburdening the network. And we haven't done any benchmarks for this, so I don't know if Bluetooth will just collapse.
It's a two-bladed sword. Or two-edged sword, because if you run ad hoc mode on a mobile phone, the battery will be drained in 3 to 4 hours max.
It doesn't take long, no.
With Bluetooth, it could last like a day or two, maybe.
Mm, yes, but is your file downloaded by then?
Well, it depends on the size of the file, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Something that, so I mentioned we wrote a bunch of code in the beginning of GSOC, so in early June, after we did all of these experiments, or basically after we tested Wi-Fi Direct and found out that it was garbage, we came to the realization that the routing core, its primary thing now is that it can represent a node on different network, like on different interfaces at the same time as the same routing ID. So the idea is that you can still have devices that, if you have a phone that can do ad hoc, it can do an ad hoc thing, but still be connected to the rest of the network via Bluetooth. And our hope is that for anything that's ad hoc and spontaneous. Bluetooth meshing is enough because people can talk to each other without being, like, you can leave your SIM card at home if you go to a riot and you're not going to get tagged on your baseband. But if you have a semi-permanent installation and you have a network that spans a large area, you can use Wi-Fi large Wi-Fi antennas to bridge the gaps and then have smaller subnetworks that get connected via.
It occurs to me that maybe it's not a bad idea to have little devices one of these pocket routers that can run OpenWRT with a USB battery.
Yes.
Because you don't have, you have a charging feature, you have a low voltage disconnect, you have a tiny router, you can run an access point and an ad hoc interface.
Yes.
So people could carry that around with them and then actually it would become more practical, maybe?
So, yes, absolutely. I mentioned Rust earlier. I've been programming in the language for about 6 months, or maybe a little more, a year now. And it took a while for me to evaluate it as a candidate for CallNet because we have this target, which is a tiny router. It's a MIPS CPU and it only has 8 megabytes of ROM for an image, and Rust by default, without setting up anything in the compiler, is notorious at building very large binaries. So it's something we've been investigating, and we are, before the application is even rewritten or set up to do this, setting up a tool chain to automatically build these images so that people can just download them and flash them easily onto their devices.
Well, one problem is the amount of flash that you have in the routers, but how much RAM that runs?
RAM is, funnily enough, not that big of a deal. It was, I think it has 64 megabytes of RAM, so that's enough for us. RAM really isn't, the Rust code that we've written for CallNet is actually more memory efficient than the C code because the compiler can optimize more things and our C code is not well written. It's very naive in a lot of approaches, and so binary size is the primary thing.
If you say we, how many developers are working on Call?
So we are 3 people.
Okay.
But we go in and out. So we don't, we all have other stuff to do, and we don't...
You have a life.
Yeah, we have a life. I do have a day job, unfortunately, which might change at some point. But so we don't get that much time to work on it. Summer of Code was kind of a special thing because I could actually allocate some time to work on it and not starve.
You could apply to the prototype fund.
We did. We were rejected because we weren't... I don't know, prototypey enough. I have opinions about the prototype funds, but that's another discussion, I guess. We wrote a proposal and it wasn't accepted, and it's not exactly clear why we weren't accepted. But we're actually applying to another fund right now, which is for it's an infrastructure fund. I forgot who gives it out, some international body of people, and we're applying for 200,000 euros to hire 3 people for an entire year to work on this. One of those people, or maybe at half position, would be me, and then 2 full-time developers and another part-time developer, so that we can get 3 full people in total and 4 brains working on it.
I'm afraid I've taken the lead of this interview, and it's only 6 minutes left.
Yeah, so...
So there are many things that you wanted to tell in the first place?
I think I got to say most of it. You put me on the spot now. I don't... I don't know. No, I think I talked about most of what we've done. So I'm kind of excited to actually start working on more of the routing core code, because I've been writing a lot of Java, because prototypes for Android phones are obviously, you write Java and it's not my favorite programming language.
Do you actually need a routing protocol? You could just do something like broadcast flooding.
Yes and no. I mean, obviously that is a solution, or could be a solution, but in practice we've just... It kills a network, so the performance goes down a lot. And at least with the current code base, it's,
if you want to do file sharing, yes. But if you want to send messages around and stuff like that,
if we just wanted to send messages around, yeah, I guess that would work. It's not a very elegant solution. So I am unfortunately a bit of a perfectionist. So if I work on something, I'm not going to do it hacky. So maybe that is a bit of my downfall at this point as well. But if we decide that it is too much work and we don't have the people power to actually do it, it might come to that. But we like Batman in its approaches, especially Batman V or 5, or I don't know.
Yeah, well, I'm very happy if there's a new implementation.
I just read a lot. I read the wiki a lot. I actually haven't read the source code yet. But in its approaches, it seems very elegant, especially for those semi-permanent installations that we want to keep supporting. Actually, one thing that we haven't fully figured out yet on a Talk Wi-Fi, a node or a phone can join the network and download the software it needs to participate from the network itself. By you connect to the ad hoc network, and then there's a captive portal that tells you, oh, by the way, download the software. And
trust us.
Exactly, trust us. It's totally fine.
It's totally safe. You need to root your device and.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We can do that for you.
I was very upset that Dirty Cow was patched in the Linux kernel for Android, because otherwise rooting would be so easy. It's just, you know, it's just one memory violation away. Dan, security research, is doing their jobs.
You told about the captive portal and. There are all the other services Quadonet provides too, isn't it? Like the messaging and...
Yes, so Callnet could be called a decentralized Twitter clone with voice over IP. So there is public message flooding, and you have basically like Twitter feed. It even has a 140 character limit. We didn't budge to the 280.
Make it 160.
Maybe. I mean, it's supposed to include like identity information as well, right? We're probably going to up that because it's kind of silly. The application was written in 2012 when you had to be hip. There is private message sharing, although right now those messages are not actually encrypted, which we want to change. And there's voice over IP, as I mentioned. So, and file sharing. Twitter doesn't have file sharing, at least not without DMCA takedowns.
Yeah. Okay.
I think you should have started with the summary. It's like a Twitter on a mesh with voice over IP and file sharing.
Yeah, I just thought
limited
of that.
To the traditional 140 characters.
Yes, that's a much better sales pitch. I will remember that for the next time when I have to tell someone about Callnet. It's a decentralized bad Twitter.
Now it's recorded and you can.
That forgets all your messages. It's no history.
Yeah. It doesn't forget them, it just shares them with all of your friends. Against your permission.
Yeah. And you can read about your project at the Freifunk blog, and
yes.
We'll write all the links to the show notes. Qual.net is spelled Qaul.net.
Qaul.net, right?
No, not
Qaul. It's apparently Arabic. I don't speak Arabic, unfortunately, but...
Not quite.
Qaul.net. Okay.
Yeah.
Qaul.net.
Make a note.
Yes. I have a blog post in the work about what I've been doing and detailing, like outlining what we're doing. And
30 seconds left to tell the URL of your blog.
So, qaul.net, or my personal blog is spacecookie.de.
Cookie with a K.
Cookie with a K. I get very upset about that, yes. K is the best letter. Also, I found out that C and K are only one bit different in ASCII, so I'm literally a bit flip.
Well, so that was the final word, I must say. Thanks. Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören. Thanks for listening. Thanks for coming.
Yeah. No problem. You confused me there language-wise.
All fine, yeah. So... listen up to us next time at the second Tuesday
of September.
Of September. Oh, yeah. Winter is coming.
Please.